from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Because they don't have tenure, all K-12 teachers in the East Bay Catholic private schools are required to sign new contracts each year, but this year's contract includes a contentious new clause requiring them to conform to Catholic Church teachings in their personal lives. While private schools are legally allowed to impose religious restrictions, some teachers are unhappy with the addition in a diocese where 18% of teachers are not Catholic. Joining us to discuss this here in studio, Sam Levin, staff writer for the East Bay Express, who has been covering the story. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll also welcome Mike Brown, who is Director of Communication with the Diocese of Oakland, joins us by phone this morning. Welcome, Mike Brown.
Thank you, Michael.
Glad to have you both here. Sam Levin, let me begin with you. The bottom line on this is, the fact that private schools can do what they want. They can restrict whatever way they want, especially a religious private school.
Sure. So talking to legal experts about this, you know, these schools do have the ability to fire teachers for a variety of reasons. The concern that I've heard from teachers and just LGBT groups in general is that this could be used to essentially support them in lawsuits if they were to arise, if there were to be disputes over, you know, someone's termination or, you know, teachers being targeted for specific reasons because they're LGBT or because of their behavior in their personal lives, that this contract would essentially support that, given that it is a legal document. So those are the kind of the primary concerns I've heard in reporting on
this. There's also a lot of concern and a firestorm over the fact that the Oakland bishop last year fired a gay priest. But I think we have to ask, what's different in this year's contract?
Exactly. I mean, so the key differences, and Mr. Brown, who's with us today, has provided me with copies of both, you know, this year's contract and last year's contract. So I've reviewed them in full. And the kind of main differences are that in this year's contract, you have references to teachers' personal behavior and their personal lives, and kind of the expectation that they will model and promote, you know, Catholic doctrine in their behavior. And that clause and that language did not exist in last year's contract, which did have, you know, language that was similar and talked about sort of expectations to support Catholic doctrine, but not in personal life and not with this kind of specific detail.
But Mike Brown, the diocese, I guess, is officially saying there's no list of behaviors, there's no witch hunt, there's no litmus test here, but you can understand the unease that this is causing, not only among LGBT teachers, but certainly those who are not Catholic who are teaching in the schools.
Well, if we could just take a minute to, for the benefit of your listeners mostly, to consider what is a private Catholic school. I mean, I definitely will get to your question. A private Catholic school is a ministry of the Catholic Church, and it has been in this country for centuries. And the Church builds and supports and maintains these schools. These schools and their teachers reach out to Catholics and non-Catholics alike, committing to help each student to grow spiritually, intellectually, and personally. Every employee is expected and has been expected to join the church's educational ministry. And the important part of that is teaching and modeling the values and standards of the Catholic Church. It's always been so. And employment contracts and faculty handbooks have always underscored this.
Of course, you know what they're saying. In fact, a number of people, even in the Catholic Church, are saying if you're calling them ministers, it means they can't unionize.
Well, I mean, I won't call it a political point, but it's a diminution of what we mean by Catholic ministry. The contract language that Sam is referring to, 2013 and before, has always stated, teaching the doctrines, principles, and beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church and conducting him or herself in accord with these standards, respect for authority, and others consistent with Catholic teaching. I mean, we have a new bishop. He's been here slightly less than a year. He's a career academic and a teacher. And he reviewed the language and decided that we should be more explicit about, first of all, detail what our philosophy is, and then specifically add language to duties, which we can get into. You've already introduced that. If I could, let me just read quickly a very short philosophy statement that's in the contracts, which has not been in the contracts previously. The mission of the school is to develop and promote teaching the Catholic faith within the philosophy of Catholic education, as implemented at the school and the doctrines, laws, and norms of the Roman Catholic Church. All of employees' responsibilities shall be performed with this overarching commitment. That has been true I'm sure, since the founding of Catholic schools.
Well, the difference, however, is there's a rise in these kind of clauses all over the country, not only Oakland, but Santa Rosa, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Honolulu, and a lot of them are very specific in terms of what they say is, including even publicly speaking out in favor of in vitro fertilization or artificial insemination, things of that sort.
True enough. And that raises the important point that I'd like to make anyway, that the church is a decentralized beast, hard as that is for us corporate folks to realize or think about. Each bishop independently makes decisions and runs their own diocese. Oakland is not one of those other dioceses that you're referring to, and Bishop Barber specifically did not create lists of behaviors. He trusts the intelligence of his faculty and staff, that they understand, you know, that conduct outside the classroom, and this is key, in rare instances can possibly negative influence what goes on inside the classroom. The teachers are supposed to be models of behavior, and that's the case.
Are you losing teachers as a result of this? I mean, how many have you lost in your district?
I'm sorry?
Are you losing teachers who don't want to sign on to this contract? I mean, because a lot of people have spoken out and said, you know, this is homophobic, this is not what we want, this is, we're not Catholic, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So are you losing teachers?
Well, in fairness, we won't know until the process is complete. Each principal has the responsibility to staff their school for the fall semester. They're in the process of, well, they've distributed contracts, they're in the process of collecting them. I don't want to give you a gut feel because that wouldn't take us anywhere. I do want to mention, though, that the bishop has been very clear. He's heard the accusation that the diocese is targeting, among others, gay teachers and others. This is manifestly untrue. The Catholic Church in our diocese treats all people, regardless of sexual orientation, as children of God. Sexual orientation does not lessen the dignity or the worth, or the rights of any person. So I'd certainly like to park that over in a parking lot. But
well, then Assemblywoman Nancy Skinner, for example, is wrong when she says you can be fired for being gay under this clause?
She couldn't be more wrong. I think it was a pretty early, shameful bit of grandstanding of a pretty complex issue, the complexity of which we're discussing here today. But, yeah, she's absolutely wrong. And as are others who believe that if you're gay teaching in a Catholic school, you can or will be fired.
But Sam Levin, what about the gay priest from Newman Hall in Berkeley who was fired?
And by the way, I'd love to respond to that, too.
Sure. Well, just to give some background on that, I reported on this in February. There was the removal of two priests from Newman Hall, which is a fairly progressive church based in Berkeley and serves a lot of the UC Berkeley community. Two priests were removed there, one who was openly gay, who had spoken out about being openly gay in his homilies. And there was a lot of concern from the parish there and the folks that I spoke to that him being openly gay was potentially part of that decision to remove him, coming from a potentially conservative new bishop. And there was definitely a lot of dissent and upset there, letters written to the bishop about this decision. And so this, you know, coming right on the heels of that news has certainly raised additional concern and was partly why I was constantly getting tips about this concern within the diocese, because, you know, people had read my story about that removal of this gay priest. And then we're seeing this clause, which, you know, there are examples of this around the country of these kinds of clauses being used specifically to target LGBT teachers. And, you know, obviously, as Mr. Brown was saying, there are certainly other clauses that do specify specific behaviors. And this clause most certainly does not. However, there's a history and a pattern of this. And so I think that's where a lot of the fears stem from.
I would certainly, as I did when Sam first brought this up several months ago about the changes at Newman Center, and as I told him, the third had information that one of the priests declared himself to be gay in a homily, entered not at all into the bishop's decision that he wants and now is getting a change of leadership. Every pastor and associate pastor in a Catholic parish is moved over time. These priests had been there, I believe, 6 years and perhaps 5 years. That's a good run, and this bishop wanted to bring in new life, to the ministry, to the UC Berkeley students, and that's what occurred. Gayness was not an issue, although it's in the headline of the East Bay Express every time they write about it.
But you have to ask the question, and I will to you directly, Mike Braun, whether some of this that we're seeing, not only in Oakland with what has been described as a conservative bishop there, but throughout the country, is a reaction against the new pope and the kind of liberalism that he's associated with, as opposed to Benedict, who is much more of a hardliner on these issues. Cardinal Ratzinger, in fact, the enforcer.
Well, yeah, I couldn't disagree more with that. I mean, our Jesuit bishop was the first bishop appointed by the Jesuit pope. And I would hasten not to describe him in political terms as conservative at all. Nationally, I can't begin to bring a political perspective to who might or might not be reacting to or against or with or against Pope Francis. I think each diocesan bishop cares very much about the quality of Catholic education, and then they move to whatever steps they choose to move to. We did not, to reemphasize, Oakland is not prescribing behavior. Oakland is not creating lists of behaviors. The bishop trusts the intelligence of his faculty and staff, that they understand that conduct in rare instances outside the classroom can possibly negatively influence what goes on inside the classroom.
Again, Mike Braun is Director of Communication for the Diocese of Oakland. Sam Levin here in studio with us, a staff writer for the East Bay Express. You may want to weigh in on this. In fact, let me invite you to do that. Our toll-free number is available to you now, and you can join us now at 866-733-6786. We welcome your phone calls. If you have something you'd like to contribute to the conversation here, or if you have questions or comments, please feel free to join us. Again, it's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And Sam Levin, let me just get you on the record here before we bring listeners into this. I mean, there are certainly a number of non-Catholic teachers. You've talked to some of them. Are they also saying that what's at issue here is not having due process or not having collective bargaining? In other words, being at the whim of their employer to be fired at will?
I think from employees I've talked to, that's always a concern. So they're, you know, non-unionized. They have to sign this contract every year, which means it's an agreement they're making every year. And I think that there's a fear that, you know, they have little recourse should a situation arise where they feel they are being discriminated against or treated uncomfortably, you know, because of their sexuality or kind of a wide range of behaviors or just personal choices that may not perfectly align with Catholic doctrine. And, you know, increasingly across the country, you're seeing more and more Catholic schools hire non-Catholic employees, and certainly here in the Bay Area and in the East Bay. And so I think that that is a very serious concern I've heard, and especially when you have kind of a substantial revision of the contract that is clearly controversial.
And in terms of any potential discrimination, diocesan written policies strictly prohibit illegal discrimination and harassment, and we expect all of our clergy and employees and principals and volunteers to respect the dignity of all human persons. So, you know, we've heard that accusation, but it's manifestly untrue.
All right, I want to read some comments, and then we'll go to your calls. A number of listeners writing in who are parents of students. In fact, here's Cheryl, who says, I'm a parent of a Bishop O'Dowd student. All weekend conversations have been taking place throughout the parent community about this issue. We all, teachers, staff, administrators, parents, and students, are proud of the school's commitment to tolerance, social justice, and putting its values into action. And on top of that is a first-rate education. Now all that seems in jeopardy with a draconian contract imposed on school employees by the Oakland Diocese. The real agenda of Bishop Barber and the diocese is obvious to anyone who looks beneath the surface of their disingenuous PR, to clip the wings of progressive Catholics who dare ask that their faith reflect the needs of the modern world. I am one of the many parents who will not continue to send their child to a school that cannot respect their teacher's basic civil rights. What kind of message would that send to my child? Here, on the other hand, is Beth, who says, having attended a Catholic boarding school, I see nothing wrong with a religious-based school wanting teachers to reflect the teachings of the church. The church is not a democracy. Should we expect an Orthodox Jewish day school or a private Muslim school to not expect their teachers to adhere to their beliefs per dress, marriage, abortion, drugs, or alcohol? And here's another listener, Annette, who writes, I'm a parent of a junior at Bishop O'Dowd. The administration, faculty, staff, students, and parents have worked hard for many years to create a diverse and inclusive community that reflects the core values underpinning the Catholic faith as well as those from the community BOD serves. We love it. The new contract language will have a chilling effect on the environment of free speech among students and teachers. The culture will change over time as good teachers leave and new talent chooses not to come. Catholic and non-Catholic families who cherish core civil rights along with a strong moral compass will choose to send their children elsewhere. The Catholic education envisioned by the leaders will be sadly diminished. I am speaking as one parent prepared to fight for Bishop O'Dowd, for the teachers who make it a great place, and for the students who emerge as prepared and engaged world citizens. I am one of many. Another listener puts online, the Catholic Church dictating morals is utterly laughable. And here's Thusi who writes, but this year's contract includes a contentious new clause requiring them to conform to Catholic teachings in their personal lives. Why don't they do what the majority of Catholics in this country do, which is to thoughtfully decline outdated doctrine through tacit disobedience in their personal lives with the apparently reasonable expectation that under a new pope, Catholic doctrine may eventually catch up with the modern era. After all, there's plenty of precedent for not hewing 100% to doctrine, even outside Catholicism. Many devout and sensible Jewish people eat shellfish and on Shabbos. My Hindu boss used to love in and out burgers, even though cows are supposed to be sacred in his religion, etc. As my Italian friends say, why do Americans get so upset about what the priests say? Nobody here pays any attention to the priests. All right, well, we'll pay attention to our callers, and let's bring them in. And we go first to you, Jennifer. Good morning.
Hi. I taught in the Oakland Diocese. I'm a lesbian. I taught for a couple of years in a high school. And, you know, I kind of find this almost laughable. First of all, you know, to the kind of track record the Catholic Church has in terms of enforcing morality, given the history of a rampant sexual assault by priests is, just the hypocrisy of it is really disturbing to me. And I think they should hand the whole diocese over to the nuns, because I think there's so much more even in terms of understanding what's happening in the world. And the fellow who's on your show right now trying to defend this, you know, I kind of feel sorry for him in the sense that he's having to defend something that's so archaic. And the question of why this contract is being added now, this clause in the contract, hasn't really been answered. What is the great fear? It seems like a siege mentality that's overtaking the church. I think it's really a reaction. It's based in fear. And I really just think the teacher should completely ignore this.
Let me thank you for your call, Jennifer. I'd like to hear Mike Brown.
Respectfully, the clause, which I think I read it already, in both the employee's personal and professional life, the employee's expected, et cetera, is absolutely not added out of any fear. It is added to clarify what has been in previous contracts for a very long time. And the punchline to that line is, and to do nothing that tends to bring discredit to the school. Well, that is obviously a general guideline. Teachers and principals, many teachers and some teachers and many principals, have discussions all the time about matters of conduct and the like. The personal element was added with a, not a specific, but with a primary reference to social media. I think we all know that without paying attention, social media, public social media, can be a tool where private becomes public. If public behavior somehow, in rare cases, influences the role model stature of a teacher in a classroom, that becomes a problem for the principal, first of all.
Well, this is also, Sam Levin, I know you've talked to a lot of the teachers and people concerned about this, concerned because of the First Amendment. It's true that religious freedom may, in this case, trump the First Amendment, or what we think of as religious freedom, but many people, this is interfering with their personal lives and their right to express themselves.
Right. Well, and in Cincinnati, you know, there's a similar story going on right there, and there was an individual who was fired for supporting gay marriage on his blog, for example. And so there is a concern that this language is broad, and, you know, while Mr. Brown does reference social media, that's not what's referenced in the contract. And even if it is, there is a concern for folks who, you know, would speak out in favor of gay marriage, which, of course, there are, you know, many folks within the diocese.
We're talking about Oakland, but the Cincinnati clause actually has 6 pages of thou shalt nots, as it's been described.
Yes, and
it
certainly
it bans teachers from living together outside of marriage, from sexual activities outside of wedlock, from public support of a homosexual homosexual lifestyle, just to name a few. Let me get another caller on. Yvonne, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to take a brief issue with the last caller because I'm a person of faith, a parent of children in Catholic school, and I don't believe what I believe is archaic. I don't believe the Catholic Church is archaic. I just want to say that I want to echo wholeheartedly what Beth's comments were. If a person chooses to teach in a Catholic school, I believe they should be expected to be educators who will educate in the way of the faith. And if you don't agree with that, that's okay. There's plenty of other schools to teach at. I wouldn't walk into a school that was a Muslim school and eat bacon or do something that would, you know, upset people in that environment. So I don't understand why there's such a huge amount of disrespect. I understand it's a Catholic Church and it's a big lightning rod for a lot of anger. But I just want to say, as a parent, I wholeheartedly believe our schools are inclusive, accept and love people for who they are. And if you want to teach there, then please, you know, respect the doctrines of the church.
All right. I thank you for that call. Appreciate hearing from you. And let's hear from someone in Castro Valley. Casey, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I've had two children go through Bishop O'Dowd, and I've found it to be an extremely diverse, accepting, warm community. And my concern is that some of the teachers there don't adhere to the Catholic doctrine, you know, to the letter. They do in terms of the social justice and caring, and it's really a wonderful community. But there are teachers there that have children out of wedlock. They live with significant others, and there are gay, openly gay, and transgender teachers. So I just can't help but think that there is an ulterior motive to having them sign a contract like this when, in the larger picture, they do follow the Catholic doctrine, but in the details, maybe they don't adhere.
All right, Casey, I appreciate your call, and I just want to remind listeners that we are talking with Sam Levin of East Bay Express and Mike Braun of the Diocese of Oakland. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And we'll go to another caller in Palo Alto. Julian, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to make a few points. I'm actually a Jewish student at Santa Clara University, which, you know, is a Jesuit school. And that point brings me to the fact that Catholic schools don't solely serve Catholic students. It's important to bring that into the conversation. And also, that there's sort of a logical fallacy here that personal behavior is correlated with good teaching or moral teaching. I think to best evaluate what happens in the classroom, you have to look at what actually happens in the classroom. And that another point is that education from a single homogenous viewpoint is sort of limited and narrow in scope. That's been my experience. And that education, you know, the first responsibility of a school is education, not indoctrination. That's been the experience from my life, and I just wanted to bring that into the conversation. Love the show, and thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad you brought in your own experience there. I appreciate that. Here's an online comment. Let me go to you on this, Mike Braun. A listener writes, what happened to forgiveness of sin? Catholics continually fail to live up to their moral code, but the sacrament of penance allows them to start over. But how can this apply to non-Catholics? Is the expectation that all teachers will sooner or later convert?
Absolutely not. And in fact, I think the number is 18% of all of our teachers in our Catholic schools in the East Bay are non-Catholic. Some of our finest teachers are non-Catholic. All they have accepted in the past and are being asked to accept in the future is to abide by teaching Catholic principles in their work in the classroom. So we welcome non-Catholic students. Parents, non-Catholic parents choose to send their kids to Catholic schools for many reasons, including the structure and the rigor of the education. So, no, this is not a non-Catholic point at all.
I wonder, though, Sam Levin, since you've been covering this, I know up in Santa Rosa we've been talking largely about Oakland, but the bishop up there, Robert Vaza, was actually pushing a morality clause, which was against abortion, contraception, and gay marriage, calling them modern errors that gravely offend human dignity. So you do see here in the Bay Area this kind of stretching out in different directions.
Sure. And I think that, you know, a lot of the teachers I've spoken to who go to these schools, especially ones who are non-Catholic, are drawn to them because of sort of the social justice mission, among many other reasons, and not necessarily some of these outdated notions. And I think that that becomes sort of a real concern if they would be targeted for either speaking out or just, you know, how they behave in their own personal lives.
And let me get another caller on from Albany. Robert, you're on. Hi.
Hi. I've got two related points to make, if I might. One is this notion of have the teachers signed it, the idea that if they did not, if they did sign it, that means that they're for it. I'm a teacher in the Catholic High School in the Diocese of Oakland. I've been for 20 years. The vast majority of teachers sign this reluctantly. And the second point, related point, is to roll out a policy, be it as it may, I don't think it's a good policy on this, but to roll it out, fine, but to do it by holding the gun to the head of teachers who have to make a decision, a choice between their principals and being able to support their family is far from pastoral. And to give teachers 3 weeks to digest this and make their decision with no alternative, really, is wrong. It goes against their economic justice for all pastoral letter on the economy. And I'm hoping that the bishop, after listening to people's concerns, will rethink this and go back to the original language.
Well, what about the pressure that he brings up here, Robert? I mean, that Robert brings up Mike Brown, you know, putting the gun to the head, as he puts it. You got 3 weeks to decide on this, and your family may be at stake.
Well, I mean, there is, first of all, there is no change of policy. We're not dealing with policy. We're dealing with, from my perspective, a clarification of previous language in a contract. I realize, I read the newspapers and I listen to what's going on at O'Dowd and other places. I realize that my perspective is the change of language is being misinterpreted. I thank you for this forum to be able to at least get our perspective out clearly. I can tell you also, O'Dowd is one of our finest schools. The bishop will be meeting with groups of concerned high school faculty at O'Dowd in the very, very near future so he can hear their concerns and be sure that his intent is understood.
Well, you can rest assured that he'll have a big audience to meet him there. Thank you for being with us, Mike Brown, Director of Communications with the Diocese of Oakland. Let me just read one more email here from a different perspective. Emma says, these organizations should be allowed to dictate morals to their employees. Firstly, however, they should take no tax breaks from the government of any kind. There should be no help at all for them on behalf of the general public. Thanks, Sam Levin. Sam Levin's been covering this for the East Bay Express, staff writer.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. You can continue this discussion online, kqed.org/forum. Another hour ahead, we're going to talk about tuberculosis and its cure, and believe it or not, the creator of Sherlock Holmes, Arthur Conan Doyle, who plays an important role there. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Engagement producer is Amanda Stupai. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.